Broad-based buying across the grain and livestock sector on Monday. You're listening to the American Ag Network. Of Jesse Allen with this market update. Brian Split with AgMarket.net joins us for today's market wrap-up. And Brian, looking at the complex, just broad buying being seen here. Grains and oilseeds to start with. Pretty solid day with soybeans, meal, Chicago wheat kind of leading the charge. What's your take on just some of this broad buying we're seeing here today?
Yeah, Jesse, I feel like kind of recently the trade has been, you know, buying one thing, maybe it's wheat one day and then they'll sell beans that day. And so there's been kind of that spreading between these different commodities, corn, soybeans, and wheat. And today it's different. They're buying all three. We really had meal leading the way early. There's been a couple of these meal moves over the last, maybe month and a half where all of a sudden meal is up $10. And I think there's been some concerns about crush in other parts of the world, namely Europe, as far as energy prices and pulling back on crush capacity. So that has been something that's been supportive to the meal market. But soybeans on board today, you've got the new crop soybeans, November of 26, kind of testing some of these previous high settlements that we've had. We had one back in March at 1167.5, and then we had one last week at 66.5. So we're at 1166. We're testing high closes for that contract. December corn doing a really good job here, not far from 490. We've got the May and July contracts of corn testing some resistance at 460 and 470 respectively. So all of this buying has been good to see in one day instead of just kind of the funds picking and choosing what they want to buy one day and sell the others that same day. The broad-based buying is very, very good to see. And you had mentioned the cattle. The livestock have been very firm. June cattle up a little over $4. Feeder cattle up a little over $6. So it's been a very good day in U.S. agricultural futures today.
I wonder, too, there's more talk of indirect talks between the U.S. and Iran here, and obviously the war headlines, you know, at play. But it's almost felt like these markets, the ag complex specifically, has become desensitized, I guess. I don't know what word to use here. It just feels like they're not paying as much attention to any headlines flowing out of the Middle East right now, Brian.
Right. They did initially, and then it seems like over the last couple of weeks, they've lost that day-to-day need to follow the headlines on what's been going on with energy values. And I think you've really just, if you look at the basics of it, the market for corn has been trending higher, and that is the case since January. And when we had this pullback over the last couple of weeks in corn, we held the uptrend right where we needed to. And nothing has changed the trend from the January lows in corn. So we are going to be seeing the May contract expire as we get into mid-May. Then the July contract becomes the front month. And when you look at the high in the month of March on front month corn, that was at 473.75. And so July is going to be getting very close to that here. It's at 469.25. So once we have the May contract leave and July is the front month, are we going to be taking out those March monthly highs that were made as the war was just getting started? And that seems to then, you know, bring to the idea that the market is kind of trading on its own fundamental strength. We've got the same story here in soybeans, except soybeans have been trending higher since the beginning of the period of February. So the uptrend intact in soybeans as well, and the market has a lot of room to see the market pull back and revisit support on overbought conditions. But I think the money seems to be in the buy the dip mode here in agricultural markets. And I think we need to see how the acreage gets built into the balance sheet. We know what those numbers are going to look like on the May WASDE report on the acreage side. But how does the USDA accommodate that with the demand setup? And what is our first new crop balance sheet look like? But I think the money is in here to trade the market from the long side here until we at least get a look at what the USDA has to say about the new crop setup for this year.
On the livestock front, you mentioned it, cattle, a good-looking day there here on Monday. And I had asked this question of a few folks last week, and I said, does it feel like the cattle markets, you know, if you look at it from a chart perspective, are maybe, you know, are we coiling to try and make another run higher potentially? I mean, what's your feeling in this cattle complex right now from a technical perspective, as we've kind of been, you know, steady to even a little lower in to some degree here as of late? It just feels like we've been kind of chopping here. Does it feel like cattle have, you know, are there any technical signs out there that would point to us having some upside momentum here, Brian?
Absolutely. And when I look at the feeders potentially being a leader of the cattle market, right, and the contract that has the volume and the open interest is out in August. That's where the volume and the open interest resides in feeder cattle. And we had that obviously that big correction from October all the way into November, right? That was a little over a month. And so then we went and kind of visited it back in February and then pulled back again into early March. That were made on Thursday of last week were square dead on that uptrend. They bought the market right where they should have technically at uptrend support. And then that day we reversed and closed slightly higher on the day. We were up again a little bit on Friday. And then today we see really the strong buying take right back over. We're back over the 10-day. We're back over the 20-day moving average. And I would really like to see a close above that that gap that we had back from October. When we gapped lower, that high was 367.95. So I'd like to see us reassert ourselves above that on a closing basis. And we're right in that general pocket right now, having traded as high as 369 today. But to me, the feeder cattle look technically sound as far as where they bought it last week. And on the live cattle, really all we did last week is revisit those highs that we had back in February. So June would be the volume in the open interest, that low last week at 240.92, back to support. And again, much like the feeders, we're coming off of those levels very strongly. So I think the market is geared up to push to new highs. And, you know, we're going to see this April contract expire on Thursday, and it's not uncommon to see the contract in delivery continue to push to new highs while it's in delivery going into expiration.
Brian, any final thoughts, anything else you would reiterate to folks here as we conclude today's market wrap-up?
Yeah, you know, I was talking with Jim in the office here, and kind of it seems like the theme this year is having flexibility. You know, if you are at a point where you have some profitability that you want to protect and you want to make some sales to lock in some revenue, we do think it's appropriate to have some type of call ownership above the market because of what is going on in the world, and vice versa, because of what's going on in the world. And if it was to end and come fall, we're not dealing with that narrative anymore and we end up having a good crop, we don't want to look a gift horse in the mouth either. So we really feel like the option market has been a very good way to protect sales that have been made and, frankly, put in some pretty cheap floors under the market. The lack of volatility recently has made options rather cheap compared to where they were a month, month and a half ago. So again, this is a period because of the volatility having come out of the options in the last month and a half and having some time go by as well. You can establish some pretty decent floors and still leave, you know, upside open if you're using options as a floor. And again, if you want to commit to some physical sales, having some cheap calls above the market to participate if there's something that occurs in the next several months of the growing season seems rather pragmatic to do.
Well, I know if folks have questions, they can reach out to you and the rest of the team there at agmarket.net, Brian, to discuss some of those options and different things that they have, some of those different strategies they could take at their disposal. They can reach out and talk with you guys, can't they?
Absolutely. We're always open for a conversation. Love to help you out. Just check us out online, www.agmarket.net. Very simple.
And you can also call 844-4-AG-MARKET. Always remember that risk of trading futures and or options can be substantial. Brian Split, thanks for joining us on today's market wrap-up. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse. Always a pleasure.
And that's today's market wrap-up here on the American Ag Network. I'm Jesse Allen.